Hi there, I'm Deep Dillon. Welcome to your AI Injection, the podcast where we discuss state-of-the-art techniques in artificial intelligence with a focus on how these capabilities are used to transform organizations, making them more efficient, impactful, and successful.
With all this auto-generated generic knowledge that we're throwing out there and that we're amplifying with these AI tools, how do we find the individualized content that is actually important that matters?
I would ask a different question. Does it matter if the non-individualized content passes the test where, I don't know, X number of people love it, think it's amazing, then does it matter?
It does, because it's not about whether you love it or whether it appeals to the masses. It matters whether it's unique. Is it new? Is it something worth you spending your time on?
I think that me personally, if I read something and I don't know the author, I feel like the goal of an educational system should be able to get us to the point where we can reason about it and process it regardless of the source.
And absolutely.
Right?
But let's say,
so
you know,
in this case, if the source is the AI mind, if you will, and it's good, and I can reason about it because I feel pretty confident that I can read something. Like you could take Tucker Carlson's name off of something and put it in my feed, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be like, that's dribble and crap, and I'm out of here. And similarly, you know, you could take somebody, some brilliant person, Plato, Einstein, whoever, and I'm going to be like, okay, this is, you know, I can track the thinking and the layout. I'm okay being confused about whether it's an AI or a human if the reasoning and everything is there. The part that I find more concerning, and I think it will get solved, is the utter like lack of trying to like connect the things it says back to citations. Like there's no citations, there's no referencing.
I wonder if that is even possible.
I mean, you know, we could definitely do it after the fact. Like we can take these things.
Yeah, you can take the snippets and Google for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Find somebody that said something similar.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody will do that. And I think that's actually a good idea for somebody to make the ultimate reference generator, because I think that stuff's going to become more important. So we can track these back. And in that context, it makes sense what you're saying, because in that context, we want to track it back to a human. But what's the difference between the AI saying something and a human standing behind what it said, like stamping it, and a human using the AI as a tool to say something that they don't acknowledge the AI for?
No, I mean, it's totally fine. And even if it would go and it would assemble articles out of, let's say, 30, 40 different articles and put them together in a meaningful way, and it's all good, meaningful information, I wouldn't say anything against it, right? The question is, how much of it is just repetition and replication of something that is old or something that is already out there? And how much will it kind of like further mudden the field of finding like new worthwhile things that I should spend my time with reading?
I don't know. You know. The thing that's been most impressive to me as I've been playing with ChatGPT, it really excels at high level thinking. And that's like some of the hardest thinking to do. Like distilling thing, like the top three things to, and I've been testing it in like really specific domains of our clients. Like I was down in plastic surgery land, and I was over in deep in
but
the bowels of machine learning and AI.
Is that really true? High level thinking is one of the most difficult thinking to do, or is it just like
maybe
level of abstraction that everybody that doesn't actually know what they're talking about is blabbering about? Because very often in high-level thinking, people are talking about generalized concepts that are so vague that when it comes down to it, they would have no clue what to do and actually how to realize something like that. You know,
okay,
it's
like, I'll
it's
give,
like your typical business strategic talk that is somewhere up 10,000 feet in the clouds, and they're all repeating what the other people are saying without saying anything.
Okay,
it's like
that's
politician
not,
talk.
That's bad strategy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about higher level summarizations. Geeks like you and me would listen to and say, yeah, that makes sense. I'm talking about passing it through your own personal filter. What did I ask it yesterday? I took a, you know, problem that, you know, that we're facing. I said something like, how can I use a large language model to generate high quality summaries of large conversations, and how can I assess efficacy on those generated summaries? And at first time, it kind of just, I don't usually like it when it just spits out a paragraph of stuff. So then I say, retry, but give me an explicit list with details and the use of examples. And I looked at that, and I'm like, that's a high level proposal. It's not exactly what I would write, but it's pretty much a high level proposal. And I looked at it and I'm like, nothing in there is wrong. And this isn't subject matter that I don't know. I mean, I know it, I know if it's saying something stupid.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it going, huh, okay. And then if there's something that I'm like, I need a little more detail on, then I grab like, you know, it'll list like seven steps to do whatever. I'll grab number three and I'm like, and I'll rephrase that as a question. And I'll, again, I always seem to have to ask it to add examples and detail. And then it tears it apart a little bit. I mean, it's just something, I don't know, man. We're in a different place than we were a week ago. We're in a different place. I mean, there's a reason everyone in tech is obsessed with this thing. Because last Wednesday, my feed starts getting all this stuff in it. And I'm like, whatever. Thursday, my feed starts having, you know, people making like really bold claims that I'm like, who is this idiot? Like, why are they saying that Google's irrelevant and blah, 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 blah. And I, and then by Friday, it's like people whose opinions matter to me and the world saying the same crazy things. And then I'm like, I got to play with this thing. So then I start playing with it all. I figured 10 minutes, I'll be out of here. I'll be able to fill it in with my, you know, like what I've made up on large language models in my head before. But I feel like there's like a tipping point, you know, like if you think pre-web, when we had the internet, we had DARPANET, we had email, we had all, you know, Archie.
That Mosaic as a search engine.
Before Mosaic, like I'm talking 1992, we had all of the raw ingredients. And then an HTML browser, Mosaic comes along and just kind of stitches it together a little bit.
Well, it's all about discovery. It's all about finding things that are relevant to you at that moment in time. And that's how the whole search was born, right?
Well, that little UX tweak, which I would argue, like, that's kind of what the browser was a UX tweak.
Yeah, I guess it definitely was a UX. HTML was a UX tweak. Like, it was a way of, it was a publishing system, really.
Yeah, but it exposed the graph in a way that was navigable for the first time, right?
Before that, we had BBS systems. So that's kind of like the precursor to it, right? Yeah. Where everybody had like their own little content management system that they would give you access to and you could play with it and read it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I would argue it was like, it was something that intellectually you would think of as fairly small, but it was like a tipping point. Like as soon as everybody saw that, I mean, I remember sitting around in a computer lab in grad school and there was like five of us overlooking somebody's shoulder and they're like, yeah, this just came out yesterday. And there was literally 80 websites on the internet at that moment. And we're looking at it going like, oh my God. Like,
but the good
next thing about, 30 yeah, years of yeah. my life just flashed before me. I'm like, I gotta change everything. This is what I'm working on. Like,
right.
I feel like that something just flipped. And you know, we've been working in machine learning and AI forever.
But what does it, let's come back to what does it lead to? I mean, great, we have this thing that's good at like combining, summarizing existing information. I still would say there's no reasoning behind it. It does not come up with like novel and new concepts. It just doesn't, right? What does it lead to? I mean, on the one hand, yeah, content explosion, right? Now, everybody that knows how to use this will use it as an assisted authoring tool and we'll just get a lot more content. I think the problem with the internet today is there's already too much content. And the real challenge is you have only so and so many hours in the day. What should you read? And you had a perfect example earlier because you said, well, you know, last week I saw my feeds explode. And at first I didn't pay attention to it. And then, you know, there's more and more on the same topic. And then you're like, well, now I have to look what this is, right? And of course, yeah, if something goes viral, that's how we discover content that many other people, you know, are discovering. But how much of it gets lost, right? Even if I browse on my Apple News in the morning, it's kind of like, I could do this for 3 hours because every day there's so much freaking content. What I would like to know is what should I be reading? And at that point, it becomes literally dangerous, right? Because now not only there's no objective way to do that, you're at the mercy of the recommendation engines, which technically bias you.
Yes, but that's where I think the conversational piece is kind of interesting. So like yesterday, I just did an experiment once I started getting infatuated with this thing. I'm like, okay, every single question I have in my head, I'm going to go to this thing. So the first, it's early morning. I'm like in the office. It's kind of dark. I'm trying to get moving. So I just ask it like, hey, you know, what music should I listen to right now? And I gave it a little bit more info. Like I gave it some genres.
It's dark.
It's dark. I'm in a somber mood. I just need to get a little bit of motivation. And I gave it like, I didn't even give it specific band names. I just gave it a couple of genres. I kid you not. It came back with a totally, to me at least, obscure French male electropop singer. And I never told this thing that I've been obsessed with like weird French lounge music for the last, you know, year. I don't think it even knows. I don't know how the hell it figured that out. It gives me this guy and I'm thinking, what a random thing. I figured it'd be like the Neil Diamond of France. I put it in, I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. And it was the perfect thing to be listening to right then. I don't know. I'm just going to run some experiments for the next couple of weeks.
Well,
I'm asking this thing everything.
Like for the longest time, I'm a strong believer that the gene pool is limited, right? You mm-hmm. see that. You see people that look like other people. You know, we're not all as individual as we think we are, right? And so if you really can take the experiences of 8 billion people, you'll find a lot that are like you, probably, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And this music example is something like that, like kind of like in this particular scenario and situation, what should you be listening to?
I know, but I'm so used to, you know, the 30 years of machine learning that we've been doing. I have a mental model of like, oh, I have to give it a bunch of history and give it a bunch of examples. I'm not used to having, you know, a three chat response turnaround and getting something like that.
Have data, have a hypothesis on some high-value insights that, if extracted automatically, could transform your business? Not sure how to proceed? Bounce your ideas off one of our data scientists with a free consult. Reach out at zionics.com. You'll talk to an expert, not a salesperson.
And the other thing I did yesterday is that, you know, I'm in a...
It's kind of like a mixture of one-shot learning and feature importance, right?
Yeah.
It's literally crazy. Like your one shot is like your most important feature. So what else is out there that has this one thing as its most important feature?
This feels like brain augmentation on some level. Like yesterday, I'm in a meeting with a client and I'm about to like say something. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I'm on ChatGPT experiment time. So I'm going to ask ChatGPT first. I ask it.
During the meeting?
Yeah, during the meeting, I ask it something. It gives me something. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't think of that. And then I like assimilated it into what I said. And like, that is nothing that I've ever done.
It's like your personal little pocket advisor now.
It's your personal genius friend.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's crazy. Like, what does that mean when we all have a little personal genius friend? And I really get the dangers of it saying something stupid, which is why
but it's not so different from Google or a search engine in that way, right? Because how often would you do that? You sit in a meeting and somebody talks about something you don't know. You Google it real quick and you say, you know. But now it's hard to digest the content because you get like 10 search results. Maybe at first glance, you can kind of figure out what it is about, but you don't have time to read the articles.
Yeah.
And so this thing goes one step further.
It took a 5-minute experience and put it into a 15-second experience.
Yeah. And this thing, like I said, this thing goes one step further and it read the articles for you. And it gives you like, you know, the cliff notes. Pretty much.
The part that really blows me away is just the trajectory of this stuff, right? Like all we do is machine learning. We're constantly doing machine learning. And I just feel like every day there's some new, like, massive model that's crazy. I wasn't even thinking about ChatGPT a week ago. I was still digesting, you know, like DALL-E and some of the other stuff, right? That's come out. And now, like,
but you also have to...
are already saying GPT-4 is around the corner, and it's, and like the word on the street is it's multimodal. It's going to be a 1.5 trillion parameter model. It's going to be text to audio to video to imagery.
I was going to say the last thing I've seen is like video generation, right? They're working on video generation models.
But the OpenAI guys, like the next model, I don't know if this is true. We'll find out when it comes out, but that it's multimodal. And it's gonna do video, so it's gonna be like, hey, surrealist scene of, you know, giraffe walking down the street in, you know, in 18th century, you know, Paris or something, and give me 15 seconds worth, and boom, there you go.
But I guess we have to ask ourselves, it's all nice and it's definitely like worth the marketing or the sensational hype. So was DALL-E. It's kind of fascinating. It's fun to play with. What you really have to ask yourself, though, is like, what problems does it solve?
I think we're just at the very beginning of unpacking that. But I think certainly with respect to anyone who is authoring content, it does not make sense to me to not at least learn from this thing, like to leverage it. That's if you think about what
if you are authoring content for the sake of authoring content, I agree. If you're authoring content because you really think you have something to say, you should write it yourself.
Yes. I'm not saying you're not writing itself when you're consulting this thing. Like think of it as your genius buddy and you're working on your research project and you're just like asking, you know, like you're just telling them what you're up to. I think of it more like that. I don't think of it as like, oh, I'm just going to like hit this thing. It spits out a bunch of stuff. I'm going to publish it.
Like research is a good example, right? This thing can like write articles about existing things. It could never publish a new research paper.
I mean, people publish survey articles all the time.
Right. But then we're back to the regurgitating things that are already out there.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right about that. Like, there's a few things that it excels at, and there's a few things that it clearly doesn't excel at. I mean, one of the things that it excels at is this, like, it's like the best list generator I've ever seen in my life. Like, it makes the best lists of anything I've seen. The other thing is it makes, and that includes, like, lists of questions to ask. And as soon as you start realizing that you can use it to help you figure out the questions to ask, that's, like, next level interaction, you know, and then you can ask it the question once you've got the list of questions and you can start torquing them. I feel like I'm not going to really be in an ideation session again without consulting it. I feel like I'm never going to send a proposal out again without consulting it.
It sounds like it's going to be a great writing tool.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's
thinking. Writing
it's going
thinking,
to be.
If it's done right.
You hope so. You would hope so.
You hope so.
If it's really as good as you say, it might actually find its place. Like you said, it might find its place next to Google.
Yeah. And if I was at Google, I don't know. Everyone there should be figuring out how do we integrate this into Google. If they aren't already, I'm sure they have been for a few years.
Google, but in a way, has something like that integrated in its prompt. Like, depending on what you Google for, if it's really a question or something, you know, the first thing that pops up in Google, which is very often just the answer to your question. And then the search results come.
Yeah.
So they do have that in a less like, you know, we write an article about it, but we try to figure out what you mean and what you want to look at, what you want to solve.
But they don't really have anything that like Google's ultimately is like a reference lookup. They're like directing you to places.
And the calculator, and they do stuff like, you know, events are covered, like the FIFA World Cup. If you're asking what are the scores, you get
the
scores.
There's definitely like all the one box thing. And
you can ask stupid questions like converting Celsius to Fahrenheit and stuff, right? You get the answer right away. So
yeah, I mean, I think they're going to continue to release features that are based on this capability. I mean, I don't think Google's going away. I mean, I think Google has every capability of matching what we see here and even.
I see this as complementary.
This is a trajectory
that
the global AI community is on, and you know this kind of multimodal reasoning is going to continue to go.
It's not even reasoning. It's just content generation.
Well, I think content generation is a demeaning term for what it's actually doing here. Like, content generation implies that you're just writing shit for the sake of writing shit. If you're authoring something,
so that's what DALL-E does, right? It generates shit for the sake of generating shit. For example.
Okay, it's well, like, I don't know. I haven't spent as much time with DALL-E as I have with this.
It generates images based on your prompt.
Yeah, but that's also saying that, you know, if you're an artist, you know, and a Picasso, that all you did was generate shit for the sake of generating shit. I don't think that's true. I think what Picasso brought the world was a different way of perceiving reality. Right.
Like, and I think honestly,
fundamentally differently.
I think that's a good example. I think that is exactly what is lost in something like ChatGPT. In Picasso, he had a vision. So, or he would like project in a way how he sees the world or how he imagines something. He has an intention behind this image, right? That comes from him and he's trying to express it in a painting. In ChatGPT, it's a little differently. It's kind of like you have an idea too, but you're not expressing yourself. You're trying to like project how other people would have presented the idea. So the idea is there, but not your projection of the idea. If that makes any sense, right? Your prompt is your idea.
But that's where you really got to spend some time playing with ChatGPT. That's where you're interacting with it. You are the puppeteer of this very powerful puppet. You're steering it, you know, like I'm having it author a college essay, you know, for one of my kids' friends.
But isn't it kind of like you're just like trying to like twiddle with it until you like what it wrote?
I think you're trying to get it to a starting point that you're going to go take and do something with.
In that case, you are the reviewer. You're not the author, right? Like I said, you're like the editor of the newspaper that gives
his
underling an idea and then reads the article.
I think that's a very good analogy. I think you play the role of editor until you cut and paste what's in there and tweak it. And now you start writing on top of it. And now you're the author.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I mean, definitely super useful. I mean.
I don't know. I'm just fascinated because if you look at it.
I'm a bit scared about the spam we're going to see.
That's inevitable.
It's going to be high quality spam, but
it's already all over the internet as of Wednesday.
But how are we going to distinguish the spam from the real stuff now?
Well, I think provenance is still important. Like, you know, so-and-so works for such and such company and is a real human, as opposed to so-and-so is an AI bot created by so-and-so who's out doing whatever. And provenance is going to be key, and being able to like prove provenance. So,
and the same way that we get Google articles, right? It's kind of like basically peer reviewed, like people that link to content. I guess the ranking of content doesn't really change. Just the sum.
I mean, I think there's going to be startups that emerge and companies that try to help us navigate the even just the provenance isn't an easy problem with this stuff. You know, it's like, I mean, I can see. Like the legal world is going to get taxed with questions. Somebody's going to go into, you know, something like ChatGPT. They're going to have it author lyrics for a song. They're going to go sing their song. They might have the audio version and render the chords and everything.
You know what
and
we need?
Someone else is going to be like, you ripped off so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so.
We need patent GPT.
Yeah. But that's where I'm saying like reference checking capability is going to be super powerful. Like someone needs to make automatic reference checking so that you can like be an honest, you know, user of this thing. Whereas right now, I don't think you can feel safe in just cutting and pasting it to, you know, to your college essay or whatever, or your exam or whatever. You have to manipulate and change it a ton. And even then it's sort of like, did you plagiarize? Like, you don't even know. Even the machine doesn't know.
You don't know. You don't know whether or not you copied, like, somebody's stuff verbatim, or if it's assembled, or if it's, like, somehow put together, or rephrased, or paraphrased, or who knows?
I think we're in a new world.
That's all for this episode. I'm Deep Dylan, your host, saying check back soon for your next AI injection. In the meantime, if you need help injecting AI into your business, reach out to us at Xionix.com. That's Xionix.com. Whether it's text, audio, video, or other business data, we help all kinds of organizations like yours automatically find and operationalize transformative insights.